everybody. We got 1 minute to go.
Oh, hang on.
There we go. Speaking through the wrong phone. Hello. Technology. It's so fun. Hello, everyone. Welcome to week 11. I am so excited to have you here. And I'm also absolutely thrilled to be talking about marketing today, which is the subject of this week. It seems like I've been talking about this nonstop. In fact, I just gave a webinar to India, to the ICF, the International Coach Federation, a few chapters in India, an hour and a half, all about how we develop our coaching business and prosper and thrive. And a lot of it was about marketing, and a lot of the questions were about marketing. But it's funny, you know, I spent a lot of years in marketing and corporate, and I never loved it. But everything I used, I'm applying now, and I've got to say, I do love it. I do love it. I love everything about it. And one thing I realize is when we don't love it, we struggle. We struggle professionally. When we don't love to communicate powerfully, when we don't love to figure out what our unique selling proposition is, when we don't understand how we're powerful and how we're valuable, we struggle. So if this sounds like you and you're really having a hard time with all of this, I really hope you listen up and do the exercises, do the homework, listen to this several times, because the quicker you can become a savvy marketer, your own best marketer, the quicker doors are going to start flying open. Life will really change for you. But before I launch right into this content, I clicked on the Q&A, and I think Bethany had a question from last week that I do want to address, because I didn't get to it. And Bethany says, I'm one of those mothers that gave up everything for my kids. Out have time to develop, I think this is what it says, out have time to develop a second act. I have the dollars for either an associate degree or certificate, but enormous fears that I'm too old to be taken seriously, not yet 60. I have enormous energy, great health, smart, hard worker. What am I directed to in terms of careers is secretary, medical coder, retail, and that just crushes me. How does one move forward when the culture stuffs you in a pigeonhole? I have volunteered, worked in science arenas and academics. What activities can I do now that will give me credibility? So, Bethany, I want to share a few things. The culture doesn't stuff us into pigeonholes. We allow the culture to do that. And it's up to you not to let that happen. So if secretary, medical coder, you say what I'm directed to, who's doing that direction? Not me. I don't know who you're asking for help. I don't know where you're getting help, but it's not the right kind of help. If you don't want to be a secretary or a medical coder or retail and that crushes you, that is not what you should be doing. So how does one move forward? So here's what you have to do, Bethany. It's up to you. You have to take the ball. You have to control it. Forget what the culture says or the society. I'm hitting this hard because we can actually have a very unhappy life thinking about how everyone and everything in society is pushing against us and making us not happy. It's just not accurate. Yes, there's discrimination. Absolutely. There's age discrimination. There's a lot of things. But I have lived what it is to work around those and help other people navigate through those challenges. So you can do this. But first you have to decide, it's not what activities can I do now that will give me credibility. It's what do you want to do? Where is your passion? And I ask that because for you to rebuild yourself, to do a second career, to reinvent, you got to have passion and you have to have commitment. It's not easy. None of this is easy. So what is it you want to do? What is it that you care about? What needles do you want to move? What outcomes do you want to change in the world? Those are the areas you need to focus on. And I promise you, when you, number one, understand what you're amazing at, number two, articulate it, and you should be on LinkedIn and you should share what you're doing and what you've done and what you want to do, things start to happen for you, but you're the one that has to shift this. Ooh, that's hard talk. It's me being a coach, not a best friend. But you can do this. You just have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and do it. All right. If you're on the call, star 2, And we can talk about this for 1 second. I would love to help you. And anyone out there who's saying, gosh, society or culture or my spouse or my industry pushing against me, I want you to just shake that off. The world is not pushing against you. The world is pushing for you. But we have to be able to see that and shift ourselves. All right? Ooh, I hope that's helpful. All right, let's go to the slides. I'm waiting for them to load. Here it is. So week 11, be your own best marketer. So today's takeaway is this. You are incredibly special, amazing, important, valued, and valuable. But are you demonstrating and communicating that every day? You know, to me, this is a good tie into what Bethany's question was. So some things we have to know about marketing. It's not sleazy. It's the opposite of that. It's bringing yourself out in the world, bringing yourself to market where people will know about you and say, I got to have what she has. I got to have what she's offering. I've got to have her. It's letting people know who you are. It's understanding that if you can't get people jazzed about you, no one's going to get people jazzed about you. You know, even when you build a support network, like right now I'm launching this coach certification program and I have about 10 affiliates. Affiliates are, in this online marketing world, people who love you, who are happy to spread the word, and you give them a special link to your materials. And when they send out these materials or promote you, and their following clicks on that link, they're able to make some money from that for every registrant that clicks with their special link. Now, some people don't even bother with being an affiliate. They're just happy to spread the word. Other people think, yeah, I wouldn't mind earning $500 or $600 every time someone registers for Kathy's thing through my link. But the reality is all of those affiliates are people that I love who, in almost every case, I have featured in some way on Forbes, on my own blogs, on LinkedIn. I've promoted their materials. So they're jazzed about me because I'm jazzed about them and because it's a mutual love fest. But people don't get jazzed about you if you don't know how to talk about yourself. So what are the key blocks I see over and over and over? I mean, thousands of times. First of all, and particularly women, we are, in general, I'm not trying to paint everyone with the same brush, but in general, women are not trained or encouraged or supported to speak powerfully about themselves. My generation, anyway. I think that is changing with millennials. But we're not taught how to advocate for yourself. In fact, the gender research shows that there's a strong bias against forceful women. That, in fact, and I know this, I mean, I feel like I had this a lot, discrimination in my corporate life where men were doing exactly the same thing I was, but I was considered the bitch, excuse my language. But they were doing and saying the exact same things in the exact same way, but I was the bitch. Yes, there is gender bias, as we said. There is discrimination. But there are ways to navigate through this. You can't just shut down and throw your hands up. You have to navigate through it. So one thing I hear women say is, ugh, I don't really want to have to speak about myself. I want to let other people do it for me. And yes, that's awesome. But you need to be able to do it. You have to be able to do it. And you have to help these other people who want to help you know what to say about you. You have to give them the language, right? Another block I hear from women, I feel arrogant or selfish to speak about myself. Yep, and that's our training. We didn't come out of the womb like that. That's our training. We have to get over it. There are ways to speak about yourself that you can still keep your integrity and your transparency and your humility and your compassion, but you speak compellingly about what you have to offer. It's not arrogant and it's not selfish. And you do have to know how you're special. So I'm going to be pointing to Bethany's point because it was a good jumping off point. What I hear in Bethany's comment is, I don't really know how I'm special. I don't even know where to begin to look at the areas that will give me credibility. I think that comes from an inherent self-worthiness problem. You know, I've been out of work, and I feel like I'm not worthy. But you are, because you are much bigger than the past 5 years or 10 years. You're everything you've ever been, and the world needs that. So let's talk for a minute about personal brand. You need a personal brand. Every person does. no matter what field, no matter what level, function, industry, you need to develop your personal brand. So part of that, what is that? Part of that is understanding how people experience you. And there are three pieces to this: emotionally, aesthetically, and functionally. So let's use me for an example. And, you know, I understand I have a business with a website, and that may not be where you are, but let's use it as an example. My brand is all about, first of all, what do people experience when they're working with me emotionally? And, you know, I can see evidence of it constantly. When someone reaches out to have a talk to see if they want to work with me, you know, we'll get talking about their career. And at the end of that talk, I'll say, how do you feel? And they say, invariably, they say, I'm so excited, but I'm a little scared. That's how it is to work with me. You're excited. I hope you feel this. You're energized, you're motivated, but you're scared. Yeah, because the work that we do together stretches you out of your comfort zone. I'm not doing my job if I'm not stretching you beyond where you feel comfortable. So part of the emotional experience with me is that, plus I hope, compassion, gentleness, understanding, right? Acceptance, empathic listening. Well, how do people experience you emotionally? And if you don't like the answer, I mean, go out and find out. You know, ask some people. Ask your family. Ask your colleagues these questions. But if you don't like the answer, then it means you have to shift. I mean, 10 years ago, I didn't like the answer because I wasn't a great leader because I really didn't know how to handle all the toxicity coming my way. I didn't handle it well. And that's painful for me to even think about right in this moment. All right. The second aspect is aesthetically. And I mean, when you're marketing yourself, even the way you write emails, like I notice millennials, younger people, my kids, their emails are very, well, actually my son is more this way than my daughter. I think maybe there's a gender thing there too, but younger people tend to be very abbreviated, no salutation, no thanks, comma, Kathy. They just state the thing. And I notice it even in young editors that I'm working with who are at high levels at Forbes. It feels brusque. I'm not like that, right? My emails are just more crafted like a letter. I try anyway. So anyway, aesthetically, what is being communicated about you through aesthetics? So if you look at my website, for instance, there's a certain color palette. There are certain photos. You know, I had a big video shoot with 100 photos coming out of it. I only chose 10. Because it's not just how I look, it's the feeling, the energy, the spirit of it, and what it evokes in others when they come to the website or come to my programs. And the third aspect of your personal brand is functionally, what do you do that someone else doesn't? So, you know, I was just, as I said, teaching this India webinar. You know, if you're searching for a career coach, you're going to find me on the first page of Google, right? Because of a lot of the writing in Forbes and et cetera. But you're also going to see I'm a consultant. I'm a trained therapist. I work with energy healing. These are the functional things I do. And that's either going to be a very good fit for someone or not a good fit. What do you do and what do you offer that someone else doesn't? You got to nail these things. You got to know what they are. And I know it's hard. And that's why if you don't know, then, you know, contact Laura Neff. She'll help you. Sometimes we really need an outside perspective for this. And that's why I say everyone should be on LinkedIn actively, and you should be giving recommendations, written recommendations, and you should be asking for them. You know, the 10 people that you love the most in your 20-year career, ask them, could you please? And I can give you wording for that. Something like, hello, it's so great, Sally. It's so great to follow your trajectory. Congrats on your new job. You know, I'm wondering, I had such a wonderful experience working with you, Sally. I'm wondering if I could ask you please to consider writing a recommendation of me based on the work we did together. It would mean so much to me. Thank you. That's it. And you will be shocked at what comes back. And what other people say about you is how they experience you. And that's really helpful language. Now, in this video and lesson, I talk about the 5 core steps to determining and communicating your personal brand. They are get clear, get writing, get speaking, get collaborating and get envisioning. So let's talk about them. So getting clear. Again, this is all about building your personal brand and communicating it and sharing it. And you're going to share it everywhere you go in everything you do. But first you got to get clear. Who are you? What do you do and for whom? What do you stand for? And you have to articulate that in three concise sentences. You know, yesterday I had a client, a private client who I adore, who I've been working with for 2 years on and off, and I just think the world of her. And when I looked at her LinkedIn profile, it doesn't touch the ice. It's the tip of the iceberg about who she really is. I mean, she has a very high-powered profile. She's done amazing things, and you just don't see it. So even her tagline was her job title. You don't want that. You are not your job. You're more than that, much more than that. You want to talk about who you are in the world. So for me, again, I've said this before, but I hope it's helpful. You'll see international career coach, author, speaker, trainer, dedicated to the advancement of women in business. So that tagline encompasses every job that I'm doing right now. So it's not just Forbes contributor. It's not just founder and president of Elia Communications. That says nothing. You know, founder and president of this business, that says nothing to anyone. So you want to really think about who you are and what you have done and what every job, you know, look back at your career path assessment, what every job says about you. You know, and here's another way to look at it. When I was looking at my last most toxic VP job, emotionally it was horrible. And when I left, in my mind there was not one thing good about it. But as time elapsed and I healed, I realized I did some pretty amazing things in those 2 years. Really amazing things. Huge business successes. Why would I be throwing that out? Just because emotionally it was so hard. And just because I had a narcissistic boss and just because I got laid off after 9/11, that doesn't mean I should throw out everything that I accomplished there. You got to know how you're different, right, from the competition. What has led you to do your work in a very special way? You know, talk about that. I was raised a child of immigrants. I was raised with a single mom. You know, even I've had people tell me my dad was a compulsive gambler, and what that's helped me do is blip. You know how you're different. Everything that makes you makes you different and better than someone else in a particular function. What you also want to do when you are writing about yourself, promoting yourself, doing your new website, is when you do competitive research, compare yourself to the best of the best, not the worst, right? I think I've mentioned this example, but it's a good one. I was working with a financial consultant who wanted to build her brand and build her website, and I said, what do you do differently and better? And she said, well, here it is. I really listen to my clients. I really listen to their financial hopes and dreams and build really strong plans based on that. The problem with that is that's every great financial consultant. I mean, can you imagine a financial consultant who doesn't really listen and doesn't build strong financial plans based on the person's dreams? I mean, that's just what a great financial consultant does. So that's not deep enough. That's not enough. What do you do differently, right? And how, look at those competitors, the people that you are 10 steps ahead of you. How are they communicating about themselves, right? What are they doing well? What are they doing poorly? What speaks to you and what would you want to do differently in how they communicate about themselves? The second pillar in this is get speaking. So I talk about in the video, you know, we talk a lot about networking, but what I've found is this. If you don't like your work, you don't like to network because nobody wants to talk about what they don't like. And if that's you, that's a sign that the direction you're in isn't lighting you up. You don't want to succeed in it if you don't want to talk about it. When you start doing work that you like, you are going to want to talk about it. But you have to find a way to passionately speak about it. So practice. Practice speaking about your very specific accomplishments, you know, that have moved the needle for a company, moved the needle for a business. I've mentioned this before, but I love Peggy Klaus's book, Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Horn Without Blowing It. Get it on Amazon. She's got wonderful exercises to help you build your bragalogs, which are specific sound bites that you can use when you're talking about yourself. fourthly, fifthly, role play it. You know, it's funny. I'm a public speaker, as you know, and just because you write something doesn't mean you can speak it compellingly. So every time I write a webinar or a teleclass, I actually run through it speaking it out loud, and wow, what a difference. Just because you made it up in your mind doesn't mean you speak it well. So role play it, you know. Susan, can you sit with me and let me talk about myself? And how does it feel? You know, I have a friend, David, who's very spiritual and very connected energetically, and he was watching something of mine, and he said, "It's amazing, Kathy, but I do feel your throat tightening up in this spot." And he was so right. I was tightening up because I was doing the video without a teleprompter, and at that moment I forgot what I was about to say. What I'm talking about here is energy. People can sense it. They can sense how compelling you are, how believable you are. If you really believe this stuff yourself, people can feel it. All right? Speaking. So also brainstorm how you can get out in the world and teach something. Teach it at the PTA. Teach it at the networking meeting. You know, I've helped a lot of clients who never thought they were speakers or trainers or teachers come up with a workshop and give it. I had one client give it at a very large industry meeting, and she became the instant expert on that tiny little niche that she was an expert at. So identify three topics that you're an expert in and take steps to explore how you can share your messages and teach it more in a more expansive way. The third pillar is get writing. You know, I'm a fan of writing. I've always been a writer. I love it. And on this webinar in India this morning, somebody said, "I hear what you're saying to develop my thought leadership, but I don't feel comfortable articulating in writing. What do I do?" And I would say two things. It takes practice. It's a skill. When I read what I wrote years ago, not so good. That's why book publishers have editors. But, you know, because I write so much now, I've honed it. I'm better. I used to, my sentences were long, I have tons of adjectives. Not good. Now it's so much better because I've written hundreds of posts. You know, it takes time. But, on the other hand, there are other ways to get your messages out. I was mentioning there's something called Periscope. There's a new app where you can video yourself live, and you're interacting with people watching your video. So find ways to communicate your thought leadership. But if writing is for you, you know, list some current communications you have or are developing. What are your ideas and how can you engage a community to follow your thought leadership? Start commenting on LinkedIn. Follow 50 people that you love on Twitter or on Facebook. Start jumping into the conversation. Brainstorm new angles for new content, whether it's how-to lists or resources or inspirational stories. You know, I had one client in the Amazing Career Project several years ago had a blog, a history travel blog. Fabulous. And she was in the PR industry, so it helped her in every possible way, and it was her passion, you know, taking trips to historical places and then writing about it. Awesome. So great. Do research to find 20 key influencers in your field who inspire you and reach out to them. Or better yet, give them, they call it link love, retweet their stuff. Say, wow, this really, you know, I have a few people in my LinkedIn community now who everything I post, they share it and they add something to it. It's awesome. And you know that they are so supportive of me, I'll help them in any way I can, right? And use your email and all your other communications to express not just your title, but who you really are, your essence. Get collaborating. Okay, it's time to start branching out and building your tribe. And you do that from coming from a service mindset. How can I be of help to you? What can I do? Right? What expertise can you bring to a new collaboration? What complementary skill can you add? So brainstorm three like-minded professionals, people who you align with energetically, spiritually, emotionally, whose work complements yours. Reach out and say, you know, you're interested in their work. You'd love to learn more. You'd love to support them, right? Find organizations and publications and membership groups in your area that can use your expertise. Get on LinkedIn, as I said, offer endorsements, contribute, voice your opinions, answer questions. It's time. It's time that you bring yourself out in the world. And the best way to do it is to be of service first. Right? And finally, get envisioning. What that means is start to visualize really clearly the next chapter. You know, watch the video. You can hear a great story about that. But I tell you, it's miraculous. When you do this work of literally visualizing yourself in the situation that you want, it can happen exactly as you dream it. Now, the problem I had with the book, The Secret, and that phenomenon is I feel like they emphasized the visualization part and they didn't talk about, okay, what do I have to do? It's not just about sitting on your couch, popping your bonbons, and dreaming of being a, you know, getting a TED Talk with 10 million views. Yeah, absolutely visualize, but then you have to do the work. And that was what I think really became the backlash against that book, The Secret. So in the video, I talk about treasure mapping, powerful tool. Get the little book, Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain. She really was one of the first who really articulated this 25 years ago. And I've gone to see her speak. She's really powerful. But, you know, it's time for me to do a treasure map, I have to say, because my dreams have expanded and shifted. But the treasure mapping exercise is so fun. Hours go by. But it's powerful. You marshal your internal resources to pave the way to make it happen. So see yourself there, right? Also, in the vein of getting envisioning, what's your most compelling story about you and where you want to go? Like somebody said to me, I was talking to a woman who has many books out by my publisher, Barrett Kohler, and they sold 700,000 copies. And she said, we were talking to each other, and she said, well, what do you do? And I told her, and I said, my passion is helping women, and I want to scale transformation. She said, well, what does that mean to you? And I articulated it, that at some point a few years ago, I got bitten by the bug that when I'm on a call, I don't just want it to be with one person. I want it to be with 10, 100, or 1,000. And I truly mean that. So the more I can visualize and talk about that, the more it will happen. Like I remember, I guess 3 years ago now, I had this idea that I wanted to teach at a university. Career growth. And I thought to myself, I want to do that. So I mentioned it a few times. And I swear to you, 3 months later, I'm on the phone with a head of a graduate department at NYU, New York University. She heard from a woman who works at NYU, a friend of mine, that I wanted to teach, and she said, you're perfect. Teach my course this summer. Ah! Master's course in managing inclusion and cultural diversity, and holy cow, that was challenging. I felt like I had to get a master's in that before I taught it. But that's how it works. What's your most compelling dream? And then start talking about it. You won't believe how the universe conspires. I'd also like you to think about what aspects make you lose power, where you feel, like Bethany said, how do I get credibility? Well, that assumes you have no credibility, and you've lost your power with that. How do we get it? What do? You volunteer. You ask 10 friends, what projects can I help you with that will, you know, align with what I'm going for but also help you? You start to get the chops of doing that work. You just have to go out and ask for it, and you have to be clear. You can't be vague, right? You can't say to your friends, I need some help. I need some work experience. You've got to be incredibly specific and passionate and compelling in your request, and then you'll get it. All right? And when is the next opportunity to communicate your personal brand and your professional story? We so often don't leverage the opportunities that we have. Like, let's say next week you're getting together with 10 friends in that annual retreat where you go to Florida. Well, tell them what you want to do. You know, be really clear. Don't let the opportunity go by where you just had 5 people on a call and you forgot to mention an important piece about where you want to go. leverage it. All right. Okay, what else do we have here? So your vision, just a recap, marketing is not sleazy. It's bringing yourself to market and sharing how you're amazing, unique, and valuable, because you are. Every one of you is. There's without exception. I mean, I can see it in the Facebook group. Look at how everybody's, look at Sarah, look at everybody, how they're breaking the ice and moving forward, and each of you is amazing. And I say this with absolute surety and honesty. You just have to know how now, and you have to know how to envision it and speak about it. And you also have to have some goals here now. Now is the time. We're on week 11, 5 more weeks. You need specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely goals. You need 6-month goals, 1-month goals, 3-year, and 5-year. And I promise you, when you put it down on paper, like after I had an energy healing session with Lynn, I think it was September, I'll have to go back, and I hung up the phone and said, I know what I need to do. I need to train coaches. From that utterance, I'm starting the coaching training program on Monday. It's unbelievable. And I wrote down goals. And another thing I do, which might be helpful, for my business, I have projections. In January, I look at every aspect of my business, speaking, writing, whatever it is, coaching, courses, and I project what's the revenue and what do I want to create. Do I want to build a new teleclass? Do I want to just focus on coach training? What do I want to do? And that's also a way to put your vision out there in the world. Type it, you know, and what do I hope to and commit to earning through these different endeavors? It's really exciting stuff when you get going and see that you are capable of building your vision. You just have to know what it is and start talking about it. Ooh, that's a lot of content. All right, let's dig in. Start 2. Who wants to talk? Don't be shy. I know this is a lot, and I know you're probably resisting some of this. Ooh, I don't want to do Twitter. I don't want to do LinkedIn. I don't want to ask for endorsements. Talk to me about your challenges. Press start 2, and let me work with you on them. Okay, let me go to the Q&A, see if we've got anybody typing anything. No. All right. Come on, my friends. We have 5 weeks left. 11, 12, no, 4 weeks left. So, oh, awesome. So really, this is your chance. This is your chance. I'm not going to be on the phone with you every week. So please, use it. There's no question too small, too big. All right, let's go with NASA.
Hey,
hello.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
This is Marie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm working through a lot of stuff. Everything is very positive and moving forward. And I keep on coming up the challenge of time to do stuff, to get things done. I'm getting better at it. And I have my husband helping me. I have my daughter doing stuff. So I'm delegating. So I'm not doing everything at home.
Good.
But I still need to find more time.
Okay, tell me. So first of all, we don't find it. We make it.
Okay.
And what it means is something has to go.
Okay.
But let me ask you this. What is the biggest time suck in your life or time commitment? What are the challenges? What's taking up so much time in your life? Let's hear about
that. I would say my job, of course. Work.
And are you working a lot of hours, tons of hours?
Yeah.
Tell me those hours.
I work anywhere from 7:30 until about 6 or 6:30.
Okay. Do you work there in the office? I mean, you commute or you're working from home?
Yeah, I commute.
So 7:30, you're in the office at 7:30?
Yeah, usually. Yeah, anywhere from 7:30, 7:45. It only takes me half an hour to get here.
So tell me again what the work is that you do.
I am a creative manager.
Yeah.
And I have a creative team, and right now there's no copy people, so I'm writing some copy.
So let me just, you know, we could spend an hour on this.
Right.
Let me just share. 7:30 to 6:30 is the bulk of every single day. So here's what happens when companies get used to us working that much.
Yep.
You're doing the work of 1.5 people. And they're used to that.
Yeah.
But it's not, it doesn't work now.
Right.
Because you want to shift. I mean, if you loved it, like I work a lot of hours, but it's on 10 different things, writing, speaking, training, so it feels like 5 different jobs, and I love it. I'm in control of it, and I love it. I'm the boss. But when you want to shift and you don't want to do this job anymore, 7:30 to 6:30 is not sustainable because you're wanting to spend other time shifting out, right?
Right.
So I'd ask you this. What would happen if you came in at 8:30 and left at 5:30?
Things wouldn't get done. Something
wouldn't get done. These things that wouldn't get done, are they what you should be doing, or should you be delegating them?
Actually, I could push back and say, we really need a budget for a copywriter. I really...
Hello? Right. So what happens is, you might be a perfectionistic over-functioner. Are you? Someone who does more than is necessary, more than is inappropriate, more than is healthy, and wants to get an A-plus in all of it. Is that you?
Yes, it is.
So when anyone tells me I simply don't have time to live the life I want, I know that they're a perfectionistic overfunctioner. The problem is, I'm a recovering one, so there's no judgment here. The problem is you're crippling, literally crippling people around you because you're not delegating the way you need to. Why the hell should you be doing the copywriting? I mean, think about the shift that would come about if you said we need a really great copywriter. You would be doing higher-level creative strategy, probably, right?
Yes.
I mean, I write a lot of copy. It's exhausting. It's a whole different mindset than strategy. And I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired of writing copy. But I don't know how you feel about it. But you should not be doing all that. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, it's not my strength either.
Yeah.
So,
and it's
yes.
exhausting you, you know? So you come home at 6:30, you're probably pretty darn tired from all of that.
Yeah.
So this is just one of the ways we can look at time, the way we let it control us.
Okay.
So is there any other thing besides work that you're doing that you've never really thought of letting go, but now you're going to think about letting go? Anything?
I have delegated all the, and I'm teaching both my husband and my daughter how to do all the computer stuff at home, so they don't need me to do anything.
Good. Anything else you can now let go of that you need to let go of so you have more time? Anything else that hasn't been let go of that you need to let go of? Who's cooking? Who's doing the laundry? Who's cleaning?
My husband.
Okay.
He's a stay-at-home dad. He's awesome. My clothes are hung up in color order.
Aw, how wonderful. All right, so do you feel like if you could do the 8:30 to 5:30, would it give you the time that you're needing?
You want to know something? Just you saying to me, because the writing does, like, zap my energy.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, just you saying to me to, you know, see if we can get a budget for that, because I have asked, but I haven't pushed.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to push.
I think you need to push. And you know what? It's a win-win. There's someone out there who's a perfect fit for your company who loves to write copy.
Oh, yeah.
I tell them,
this is okay. This is okay copy.
Yeah.
But we could have great.
Right. And you hiring that person could change their life.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's give a try at that, shall we?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. What a great question. I so appreciate it. Keep us posted. Let us know what happens, will you?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, we've got Melbourne. Who's this?
Hi.
Julia.
Hi, it's Julia. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Julia.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi. I'm great, thank you.
Julia,
we haven't had you
on these calls too much, have we?
Oh, I'm trying my best. It's 4... 8:39 a.m.
Oh, good Lord.
So
thank you for being here, Julia. And Julia is the name of my daughter. It's like my most favorite name. It's beautiful. Julia, what can I do for you? What question do you have? How can I help?
Oh, Kathy, it's so great that I'm actually able to ask this. But look, I really need to move from being invisible to being visible. And I understand that I've put myself in a very invisible place for the last, I've been with the same company now for, I think it's 18, 19 years. And what I'm doing, so I sort of see the future as, I'm not quite sure what bucket this falls into, but planting the seed now so that in 3 to 4 years when my youngest is through primary school, then I can really start to expand, you know, on some of the ideas that I have. But I want to, I'm in marketing communications, and so everything that you're saying, it really resonates with me. And of course, it's always hardest when you have to, you know, not do it for somebody else, but you've got to turn around and apply it to yourself.
So hard.
That's
so
really hard because you don't have the objectivity, and you can't see what others can see in you necessarily.
So true.
So I wanted to shift those skills and move to another industry and start doing that work for some of the things that I really do believe in. But I have no references. I've been with the same employer since 1997. So my references are back in the early 90s. I mean, a lot of those people, they've retired or they're not on social media. They're certainly not on LinkedIn. And I know I need to, I have a LinkedIn profile, and it's okay. It's definitely not perfect. There's no summary in there and the title is all wrong. I get that. Yeah. And I know I have to redo it, but reframing it so that I don't set off some red flags with my current employer while I start to build this on the side, is this delicate little juggle that I can't quite get my head around. And I understand that I might need to approach some people to offer to be of service, to do some pro bono work, to start to establish myself in a different industry. But it's like chicken and the egg. Which one comes first? How can I get some people to see my work without setting off that red flag with the employer who I'm not ready to leave yet?
Gotcha. Can I ask you some questions, Julia?
Yes,
please.
Let me
ask you a few questions. Okay, so you want to do marketing communications but in a different industry, yeah?
Yes.
Do you want – tell me more about that industry change. Who do you want to be helping going forward in 3 or 4 years? What industry do you want to help?
I want to work with educators and not teachers, not school teachers, but teachers who are in the adult education sector. So not at university level, but at that college level in between high school and university. So
and what do you want to do for them? What are you hoping
I want to help them, I guess. From what I can see, from where I'm standing on the outside, I can see that what they do really transforms lives. The people that go there, where after they, you know, they make that huge wrench in their life and they make the decision to go and do this course, and those that see it through and then find they've got, you know, a new career or some new options or a new life at the end of it, it's just amazing. The work that they do is transformative, but they do a really poor job. Perhaps a lot of them are under-resourced in a way, but they do a poor job of communicating their value to the community. I mean, let's face it, if they can increase their presence, or I can help them to increase their presence, to improve how they tell their stories, then how much good does that do to not only every student that's there, but for them to show themselves as an option for people who are lost, and to elevate the teachers that are in that sector as well. So, and there are so many ways that you can do that now on a shoestring budget, you know, with, you know, some of the digital marketing, mechanisms
that we have available to us.
Yeah.
Let me keep asking you some questions so we can really, I'm connecting with you on LinkedIn right this minute. What is the field that you are in now?
Oh, well, marketing comms for a software company.
Software.
And
all right.
The software, yeah.
So let me ask you
I guess the thread that, yeah, go.
So when you said, I don't want to raise any red flags, and you said, I don't have any references, they're from the past. So let me just ask this. You know, in the U.S., we all know now that we, no matter what job you're in, you benefit yourself and you benefit your company when you build your personal brand. Like William Aruda, who I send all of you to read mm-hmm. on Forbes, he's the personal mm-hmm. branding guru. And Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 50 companies pay him to come in and teach LinkedIn to their employees. I would like to ask you this. What if you said to your bosses and everybody you've worked with who you love, 10 people that you've done great work over the past 10 years with, and you simply said, you know, I took a LinkedIn course, and one thing they say to build your personal brand is get recommendations. And I'm wondering if, because I've had so much enjoyment working with you, you might be able to write me a recommendation. You know, it's passé. It's old school for companies to think that means you're looking for a job. So can't you build yourself up on LinkedIn and simply say, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. There's a little bit of a delay. Yeah. I think that absolutely something that I need to do and I have tried to do, and I'm dancing this really delicate dance of not, you know, saying to the employer, you know, I'm unhappy and I'm looking for another job. And it's not about that. It's about, I guess, having some recognition from people who have worked with me outside of this past 18 years that I am able to do brilliant work and that they've worked with me doing some of this brilliant work. But I guess part of it is that I haven't had any feedback for this past 18 years, not really. We don't do performance reviews, unfortunately. So I'm in
okay.
a vacuum.
I'm going to get
so
at
I
something a little deeper, Julia. I'm going to dig a little deeper. Twice you've said, I don't want to raise red flags. And twice I'm saying building your LinkedIn profile does not have to raise red flags. And there have to be people you have worked with in the past. Does your company have clients that you serve?
Yes,
so
they do.
So couldn't you reach out to them and say, you know, it's been such a joy working on that project with you last year. I'm building my LinkedIn profile, and I'd be so grateful for a recommendation if you're open to it. Can you tell your boss you're doing that? And, Julia, what I'm sensing from you is you feel guilty that you are actually going to move, that you're going to move away from them, and you're worried that you're going to get slapped down if you do this. Am I wrong?
No. No, there is a lot of truth to that. But I don't, it hasn't been a perfect fit for me, but by the same token, I would never wish ill of them. It's not a perfect fit for me, but I have, you know, been able to do a lot, and I've had great flexibility around the children. So I can't pretend that the job is perfect because it's not the right fit. So I need to start building now for where I need to be, you know, in 3 to 4 years. But
I think
the
biggest thing, Julia, that's holding you back is your internal feeling about this company and your experience. I mean, I'm going to say with 100% certainty, it's good for the company. It's good for you if you get endorsements from clients who say Julie is amazing. So the only thing holding you back, that doesn't have to be a red flag. It's what you should be doing even if you wanted to stay there another 10 years. This is what we have to do today. So I think what we need to do here, I'm getting the sense that, how do I put it? I'm getting the sense that you don't have a sense of self-worth about what you've done there. Because if
yeah,
you
that's
did,
true.
You'd go out and ask colleagues to endorse you. Okay?
I think that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
So we need to help you get over
that.
That's true. And what I would do is ask your boss or tell your boss you're doing that you took a class on LinkedIn or you know, you listened in, which is not a lie. I'm talking, you know, you're taking a class from me about LinkedIn. And that, you know, to build your personal brand is really good for the company, and you would love to reach out to 10 people that you've worked with. You're hoping that's okay. And then you're going to have to get over feeling like you haven't done great work, because I'm pretty sure you have. Is that helpful, Julia?
Yeah, that's great, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for being here at 4 in the morning. I cannot thank you enough. Really, that's real
thank
commitment
you.
To growth, and that's inspirational. Thank you. I hope this is helpful.
Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, hon. Talk to you soon, I hope. Next week. All right.
You will.
Keep us posted. Bye. All right. Wow, these are fantastic, fantastic questions. And thank you for letting me really try to peel the onions. So now we have Waterloo, Ontario, Kitchener.
Hello, it's Kim.
Hi, Kim. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Wonderful. What's going on with you this week?
Well, I wanted to echo, first of all, I want to thank Julia. I sent her a note on Facebook. She and I have the exact same issue with LinkedIn, so that was so helpful.
And
actually really funny to talk about LinkedIn a little bit, because I want to encourage people to use it more. I've just started delving in and changed up, as you and I talked about, changed up my profile, and it's just so interesting to be interacting there. So I wanted everyone else on the conference call to really go there and be bold and try it. But I am very concerned, pathologically concerned about putting things out there that's going to give my workplace any indication that I'm looking elsewhere. So I think maybe if both Julie and I have this, other people do as well.
All right. I really want to address this so deeply, and I want you to push back if I'm not getting to the heart of it. First of all, Kim, your LinkedIn profile, what a gosh darn transformation from the first time I saw it to now. And I know you
I need to give full credit to Laura Neff. I've been working with her, and she is amazing. And it's transformational working with her. And I think the evidence of, like, the physical looking of that is what I've done on, or what she's helped me do on LinkedIn. So, yeah.
Look at the banner. Is the banner different? The beautiful colors and,
that's so interesting. It's not different.
Really?
That's a picture of a Chihuly glass. I'm going to say his name wrong. I think it's Chihuly. He's an artist who does blown glass.
Oh, I didn't notice that the first time I saw you. Whatever.
It's
magnificent.
It
does. And I want to tell you, you've been commenting on my stuff, and I love to see that. I love to see you out there. You know, in a way, what you're doing is curating content for your followers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying Kathy's article moved me, you're telling your followers what you love. That's how you build a tribe. Then of the 500 connections or 2,000, half of them will go, and the ones who love it are now looking to you for what you recommend. Like, that's how it works. So amazing.
Yes. Well, and so that is, I think the new one that you have, I'm like, ooh, that's a little bit about work, and will that give an indication that I want to, like, there's some things I question whether, like, for me it resonates very strongly, but I don't know if I want to share it because it's also about finding a better job or looking for different things.
So I want to talk to everybody out here who is worried what their employer is going to say. So let's pull the viewfinder back and talk about it in a more strategic way. First of all, reaching out to other people, let me articulate it. What are you most worried about? Who are you worried about is going to see this? HR? Your boss? Who?
I think a unique case where I've had negative experience already from a person at work misunderstanding my LinkedIn.
Were they saying that you were misrepresenting your experience?
No, they were saying I was using my position to gather private work, which was categorically untrue. But because I have I do consulting as well. But so, and it wasn't true. But and so I think probably I'm reacting to something that, you know, was found to be untrue. But I'm just really
Is the worry
yes.
that people will say, oh, okay, let me understand this. How do you normally get private work?
Well, since I've started in this, I've just had my current job for 2.5 years, so I haven't done a lot. But what I do comes directly from a company that I'm a certified trainer for. So they phone me and say, would you teach this course? Would you go here and do this consulting contract?
So let me just talk to you strategically about the issue at hand here.
Okay.
Do you have a contract that specifies very clearly that you can't promote yourself?
I do not. I double-checked.
Okay. So what would be wrong if you used LinkedIn to get work? What would be wrong with that?
I think the answer is nothing. What I will be subjected to at my workplace is what's wrong. And what it's the issue is it's wrong in my workplace. People can make anonymous complaints, and they have to be investigated. So they could say, I posted Kathy's article on LinkedIn, and she's going to, you know, give me a kickback for it. And somehow
so,
say because of my
I don't think the answer – I hear what you're saying. I don't think the answer is that you should hide.
I agree.
I think the answer is – that you need to navigate this more powerfully.
Okay.
So one thing that pops to mind is, can you go to HR or your boss and say, I'm going to get more active in LinkedIn, and I'm doing that for my personal brand, and I'm doing it for this job, and I'm doing it to become more recognized as a thought leader. Do you have any objections? I would be forthright.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Is there anybody... anything else? I mean, I'm going to tell you. Now, there are some people like finance, banking people, they can't post anything online. They're legally not allowed to. I mean, you know, certain people in financial institutions. You don't have any of those rules and regulations, right?
I do not.
So if I really feel strongly that the answer is not that you just stay under the radar. I don't think that's who you are.
You know what? This is not who I am, and I'm forcing myself into a box that is not natural for me out of this concern.
Yeah. So
not they're all
do what you need to do to clear the pathway. You know, what you got there, I really believe that in some ways we co-create what happens to us, and if you got to slam down about using LinkedIn, it's something to look at. What in you might have attracted that? Before all that, were you deeply afraid to get your name out there in the world?
No, I had never not at all.
So then it's a lesson. It's trying to teach you something. I'm not sure what without working with you more.
Yeah.
But I don't think we want – look, it's akin to I will get – attacked on my blogs sometimes. But once I changed how I viewed that, it doesn't happen so much anymore. It doesn't happen at all. And I feel it's part of it is the internal shift that I've had.
Yeah.
That I don't live in fear of it. I used to, when I'd open the comments section of my Forbes blog, I'd be nervous. Bring it on. You hate what I have to say? Okay. And so I feel like something might need to shift in you that you don't worry about that anymore.
Oh, I agree. And Laura and I have been working with that too.
Okay.
And it's coming.
That's
evidenced in that I've actually changed it.
Yeah. But I would like to legitimize your concern and have you talk to the right people to say, I'm really going to do this. I'd like to be known more as a thought leader in my community. I think it's going to help our company. Do I have your blessing?
I think that's a great way to put it, you know, that I want to be a thought leader.
Yeah.
Because then I'll have to Google it and find out what that means.
I don't know what it is, but I kind of want it. Does that help?
Yes, it does help. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. I so appreciate it. Fantastic question. All right. Now what do we have? We have Florence, South Carolina.
Hey, Kathy, it's Maggie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
What's going on?
Okay, so here's the situation. I have been an attorney for about 7 years now.
You have been what for 7 years?
An attorney, a lawyer.
An attorney, gotcha.
And, sorry, I'm battling a little bit of a cold. I have made the decision that I want to get into arts administration because that's really, like, I grew up as a dancer. Like, the arts and theater have always been a very big part of my life. So in thinking about what I want to do, the arts administration really sort of stuck out.
Okay.
Here's my problem right now, especially as it relates to marketing. I'm not exactly sure how to market my lawyer skills, which I think can be valuable. I'm not really sure how to market those skills to an arts administration community. My sort of research is that they're not really, I mean, they're kind of on LinkedIn, but not really. It's not the area where they typically go. And it's a little bit of a harder nut to crack, especially because I don't have, you know, that master's in arts administration that you can get. But I don't think I need to go through 2 more years of school because I think my lawyer skills give me enough of a foundation to be able to be successful.
So I got
but
two thoughts
any...
for you. Can I interrupt and tell them? I think
yeah.
your problem isn't where do I go to talk about my skills. I think your issue is knowing for 100% surety, with 100% surety, how you're going to leverage your legal skills in the arts administration world. Once you know that, you're going to know exactly where to talk about yourself. You're going to go to the networking meetings. You're going to go to the association meetings. You're going to put yourself where these people are. But I have a feeling you don't quite know yet how to do that or what you would do in arts administration. Am I right?
I mean, in terms of, I guess my question back to you is in terms of what I would do, are you saying like a position that I would find myself in?
Yeah, like do you want to go out on your own and be a lawyer with your own consulting firm with people in arts administration?
No, I want to go work for a dance company or something and like a managing director, COO, operational sort of role.
And is do you feel that that's a big leap from what you're doing now?
Yes.
So I feel like it's less of a marketing issue, Maggie, and more about I got to figure out exactly what my skills are that are going to relate to this, build a story around why I'm a great fit for this, and then start meeting the people in that world who want to talk to me. So are you a member of the big industry association meeting events? In arts administration? Are you in that world?
No, I'm not in that world. I have friends in that world, but I am not in that world.
Yeah, so if that's what you want to do, what you need to do is start immersing yourself for 6 months in the world. Get the key publications. Get online where they are. Follow the key people doing. I mean, are there people that you know that you can identify who are attorneys in arts administration? Find them.
I don't, not attorneys, but I do know people that are, you know, executive directors of different sort of arts organizations, kind of mostly in my area in the South, but also in a few additional areas. But none of them are attorneys. They're just friends of mine, people that I've met, you know, throughout my years.
So one thing I would do, it's not a good thing that you don't know anybody on the planet doing what you want to do. That's not a good thing. What you want to do is locate people doing exactly what you want to do. And then you follow them and watch what they're doing and watch where they're communicating and watch how they're marketing and watch what their website looks like. So if you don't know any attorneys in that area, you need to start immersing yourself. Ask your friends, hey, do you know any lawyers that work in this field? So basically, this is not an issue of LinkedIn or not. This is an issue of I got to get really clear how I'm going to make this transition, what I'm going to do in arts administration, who else is doing it, and I got to get known. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
Does that help you?
It does. It makes the path a little clearer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think once you really commit to getting to know this field really intensely, intensively, these answers are going to start getting clearer for you. Sound good?
Okay.
Thank you. I love it. What fantastic questions. Thank you so much. All right. All right, everybody. We are now, I feel like the rubber is meeting the road here. We're really addressing practical issues, which is how it's got to work, right? This is not all hypothetical, theoretical, conceptual. We got to now make the changes that are required to move us forward. So keep your questions coming. Laura is there to help you. She is astoundingly, powerfully helpful. So ask for a session or two. Be very specific about what you want, what you need help with. I mean, I'm seeing the transformation in so many of you that is going to pave the way to what you want. But you have to know where you're struggling, right? So if something coming up in this homework or these videos you don't understand and you know it's important, reach out, mention it on Facebook. Let us help you. Let us make the most of this very rich next few weeks that we have together. All right, everyone, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week and talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conversation.